I'm going to tell you what led me to my subject today. The Passover. Now, the religious world has designated this day as Easter Sunday. This is Easter Sunday, is it not? I meant to look it up. I think it is. And the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be celebrated today by the religious world. I'm not making fun, I'm just making a statement. And they're going to celebrate it with new clothes and rabbits and chickens and Easter egg hunts and special sunrise services and breakfasts and various other activities. Well, one thing is correct in all of it. Now, don't get angry with me. Just listen to me. One thing is correct in all that's going on today in the name of religion. One thing is correct. Our Lord did arise from the tomb on the first day of the week. He did. He was crucified, and he was buried, and he arose on the first day of the week. Let's turn to Luke 24 and read that. Luke 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, the angel spoke, why seek ye the living, him that liveth among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? So they have one thing correct. Christ arose on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day. Sunday morning, the first day. However, Easter Sunday is possibly, this Easter Sunday, not the anniversary of that resurrection. Maybe, it may not be. I don't know. I don't know the exact day on which he arose. I know it's the first day of the week, but I don't know March or April when it was. I cannot tell you. But it's very possible that this is not the day, because Easter Sunday changes every year. Sometimes it's in March, and sometimes it's in April, and I suppose it has been in May, hasn't it? And I'll tell you why that is. You see, Easter, now listen, Easter is determined by the moon. The Sunday on which Easter comes is not determined on when our Lord rose from the grave, it's determined by the moon. Did you know that? Easter is the original name for a pagan spring festival. And because it comes near to the Passover season, then the church back yonder, the Catholic Church, just incorporated it. They incorporated the resurrection celebration with the spring festival celebration by the pagan, heathen people around them. It's the same way that the Catholics have incorporated the bullfight in Mexico with religious services. I've been down there many times when they're having a special religious services on Sunday, incorporated with a bullfight Saturday night. Or whatever the people want to do, that's what they do, and connect it with some religious ceremony. You see, here's when you, I'll tell you how you can determine when Easter will come, so all of you will know when it'll be in the next 20 years. Easter is a pagan spring festival which comes the first Sunday after the date of the first full moon that occurs on or after March the 21st. Now, you can find out when Easter is from now on. It's a, It's the first Sunday after the date of the first full moon, but it's got to come after March the 21st. Therefore, I don't celebrate Easter with the religious world. I don't do it. I do rejoice and glory in the resurrection of my Lord. I celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Lord's Day, and I hope every day, because he arose from the grave. If Christ be not risen, we're yet in our sins. We're found false witnesses of God, are we not? And those that have perished trusting Christ are perished forever. So we don't, if you wonder about Christmas and Easter, we don't join with the world in the celebration of these pagan heathen holidays. Now, I don't want to be an old fuddy-duddy and a killjoy and all that. If you want to have an Easter egg hunt, have one, but don't make it spiritual. I'll hide them for you. It's fun. I don't mind hunting Easter eggs. I mean, color them up. They're pretty. You want to buy rabbits? Buy them. But celebrate it as the coming of spring. Nothing more, nothing less. I think that's why the little chickens and rabbits and eggs have to do with the spring festival, is because it's new life, you see. The trees are blooming and the flowers are coming out and spring's here. That's right, isn't it? That's what it, Terry, how it came about. And that's what I say. If you want to have a, buy some new clothes, buy them. You look good. That's right. Dress up. I like to see people dress up. If you want to have an Easter egg hunt, have one, but don't put any spiritual significance with it. Don't do it. It has nothing to do with the resurrection of our Lord. Understand? Now that's, and in case you boys and girls, Brother Mahan and the church there and the elders, a bunch of old fuddy-duddies, long underwear, whatever you call them, you know, that way. But I resent the religious world doing what they're doing to such a glorious, wonderful truth of the resurrection of our Lord, and commercializing it and carrying on in a pagan way. And I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to have any part in it. But then I realized, when I was sitting there at my desk thinking about this holiday and what folks are going to do this morning and today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I realized that one of my students, or some of them in this morning hour, are going to be reading the King James translation of the scripture and come across the word Easter. It's in there. Acts 12. Turn over there with me. It just occurs one time in the Bible. The word Easter occurs one time in the Bible. It's found here in Acts 12, verse 4. That's right, Acts 12. Now, beginning with verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. See, then were the days of the unleavened bread. Then were the days of Passover. It was the Passover. I've just read about that a little while ago. It was the Passover feast. It was the time of the Passover. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers. A quaternion is four, so there are four of them, 16, I guess, of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The word Easter there, and you can look it up. You've got concordances at home and Greek lexicons and so forth. The word Easter there is the Passover. That's what the word is, Passover. And that's where it's translated in any other translation. I don't know why. I guess it was the Catholic influence that carried over into the Church of England when this was translated in 16-something. And that influence carried over, and instead of putting the word Passover here, they put the word Easter, because it was a common celebration among all the churches then, and they translated Easter. But it's not Easter at all. The word is Passover, the Passover. And so I determined to preach today on Easter as it occurs in the Word of God one time, the Passover. And we couldn't have a better subject. That's why he was in the grave, because he was our Passover. All right, let's turn to Exodus now. And my friends, there's no better picture, there's no better type in the Word of God of our salvation in Christ Jesus than the Passover. If a person can learn, can take in, can receive what I'm going to say this morning, it'll be well with your soul if you can receive it and believe it. Now, Israel, I'm going to read from Exodus 11 first. Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. They'd been in slavery. And the Lord called Moses and he said, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go. And so the call was refused. And God was pleased to send plague after plague after plague after plague. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. He made several idle proposals, but he never intended to let the people go. And so the Lord announced judgment here in Exodus chapter 11. And the Lord said in verse 4, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. Now the Lord didn't say, I'm going to send a death angel. He said, I'm going. I tell you, man's rebellion and evil will be dealt with by God Almighty. Man's unbelief will be dealt with by God. He said, I'm going to deal with them. And then you know how he said the firstborn in every home. That's the firstborn in Pharaoh's palace, even the maid behind the mill, even the cattle. God, this judgment so complete, so thorough, that everybody and every animal that was the first one born from every woman is going to be killed. But the Lord proclaimed the covenant. This is what Desi just sang about. But God. We were lost and ruined and depraved, in bondage and darkness and slavery, just like Egypt, like Israel and Egypt. But God. But God. And that's what he said in verse 7. But! That's the whole of but! Thank God, against any of the children of Israel, not only will God not fall upon them in judgment, but I'll protect them from every other enemy. Not even a dog's going to bark at them. Not even a dog. Then he proclaimed the way of redemption. In chapter 12, here's the way. God revealed the way of redemption. He said in verse 3, now you speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. The household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next, you rest it all. Take a lamb without blemish or spot. Our Lord had no sin. This is a type of Christ. It's a picture of our redemption in Christ. A male of the first year, the prime of life, Christ was 33 years old when he died. Put that lamb in a pen. It's to be without blemish or spot, as Christ was without sin. And watch it. Test it. 4 days. Observe it. Make sure there's no mark or disease or anything in it. Our Lord was tried. He walked this earth for 33 and a half years, tried by heaven, tried by earth, tried by the law, tried by Satan. Found no fault. Pilate summed it up, I find no fault. I find no fault with him. And then you kill it. Then you kill it. And then he said, you take the blood. You see, you roast the body of the lamb with fire. As Christ was literally roasted under the fire of God's wrath on Calvary's cross. And you roast that lamb with fire, the whole lamb. All of Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. You can't have part of Christ. It's all of Christ. And you eat it. That is, we feed upon him. We eat his flesh and drink his blood. Christ is our life. We receive him within. Not just a token or a sign or a pledge or a decision. It's a receiving him. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Then you dip the hyssop into the blood, and on the door of your house, put that blood on the lintel and on the two side posts. Now that's the way of redemption. That's what God said to Israel down there. I'm coming through, he said. And my judgment's going to be complete. My judgment's going to be thorough. My judgment's going to touch every living human being and the animals even. I'm going to kill. I'm going to destroy. I'm going to kill. But Israel will be delivered. And I'll tell you how Israel will be delivered. There'll be a substitute. There'll be, you see, not only was there death in the houses of Egypt, but there was death in the houses of the Israelites. But in the houses of Egypt, the son died. In the house of Israel, the substitute died. You see, the lamb died. We're not saved without death. The wages of sin is death. And my sins are and have been punished by death. Not my death, but his death. By suffering. The soul that sinneth shall die. And I died, but I died in a substitute. You see that? And they put the blood on the door. And then they observed it. And he said over here, look at verse Exodus 12, verse 26. Now, which will come to pass when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? And our boys and girls are sitting here this morning. And they say, what do you mean by all this? What do you mean by Christ and his cross and his death and his blood and eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Well, you say to your children, the reason we're slaying this lamb and the reason we're roasting it with fire and the reason we're eating the lamb and the reason we put the blood on the door, or we put the blood now on the mercy seat in the tabernacle, is this is a large Passover. And we're remembering and showing and confessing to him in our own hearts and to everybody else and to him, that this is the way he saved us. This is the way he delivered us from Egypt. Not by our merit, not by our works, not by our efforts, not because we deserved it, because someone died for us. That's what we're saying. This is what we're saying to our boys and girls. This is what we say when we reserve the Lord's table, the bread and the wine. We're saying we live, but we live by his death. We live, but we live by his sacrifice. We're righteous, but it's by his obedience. We're forgiven, but it's because he died. You see that? That's what we're saying to them over and over again every Sunday, every Lord's Day. Now, it was at the observance of this Passover. Turn to Luke 7. Or Luke 22, I beg your pardon. Turn to Luke 22. It was at the observance of this Passover that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's table. You see, Jesus Christ, our substitute, our Savior, he came of the house of Israel. He was a Jew, born of the seed of David, declared to be the Son of God, but made of the seed of David. And he was born under this law, under the Levitical law, under the Mosaic law, under all the laws, ceremonial law, under the law of Moses. He would kept the Passover. That's right, every year of his life. He was circumcised. He's 8 days old. His mother took him to the temple for purification. He followed every one of these Levitical laws down to the letter in your place and my place. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And so he was with his disciples. Look at Luke 22, verse 7. Luke 22, 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. This is 2,000 years after Moses gave this Passover feast to Israel. The Lord Jesus still keeps it. He said, keep it every year. And he sent Peter and John saying, you go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. And they said, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he told them where to go and all that. And then, now down here at verse 15. Now he said in Luke 22, 15, he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Christ, our Passover, is going to suffer. The lamb's going to be slain. The lamb of whom John the Baptist spoke when he said, behold, the Lamb of God. I'm going to suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more. Not eat there any more until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The Passover feast is coming to an end. This is the last one. No more lambs. No more animal blood. No more Passover. No more sacrifices. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this now and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God is come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body broken for you. Eat this. You know, when Israel was down in Egypt in bondage, slavery, and darkness, God would lead them out. They had a substitute, a lamb. That lamb was slain and roasted with fire, and they ate it. And that blood, they didn't drink it, but they put it on the door. Now the Lord Jesus said, I'm your Passover. I'm your sacrifice. I'm your lamb. I'm your substitute. I'm going to suffer and die. Now take this bread, and you eat it. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. And likewise, verse 20, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There's our Passover. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 5. You've got to turn over and see this. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. There's our way of redemption. So Israel, down in Egypt, bondage, God came and said, judgment. I make a covenant with you. And that's that covenant David rejoiced in before he died. God made with me a covenant, but God. Now you take that lamb, roast it, knead it, put that blood on the door. And I'll pass over you. And then you keep that feast all the way until Christ come, the Lamb of God. And when he came, he said, I won't eat this Passover anymore, and neither will you, because I'm going to suffer and die. Now you take this bread and this cup, and you show the Lord's death till he come. Now, let me show up part four lessons from this quickly. Number one, let's go back to Exodus 12. Four lessons. Four lessons to be learned. Now, you children, listen carefully to me now, and everybody else. Four lessons to be learned. It's not just blood that saves. Scripture says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But believe me, it's not just blood that saves. It's the blood of a divinely appointed lamb. In other words, Israel just did not indiscriminately go out and get some blood and put it on the door. It had to be the lamb. The properly divinely appointed lamb. God said, you take a lamb, firstling of the flock, male, without spot or blemish. Put it up. Observe it. That's the lamb. And my dear friends, listen to me. It's not just a man that died. It's not even that Jesus died. The whole world believes that Jesus died. But what is the message? It's Christ that died. You know what you were talking about the other day? It's Christ that died. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I have delivered unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you receive, which you believe, wherein you stand. How that, he didn't say Jesus died, though it was Jesus, but it's the Christ that died. It's the one God appointed from before the foundation of the world. It's the Lamb of God typified, patterned, and pictured. It's the Lamb of God who came as our mediator. That's what John said, there's the Lamb of God. He's the one who lived. He's the one that died. Listen to Paul over in Romans 8. You need to turn over there. Just listen to what he says here. He says in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? Who is he that can condemn it? It's the Christ who died. It's the Christ who died. yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession. It's Christ that died. Now, I would like for you to turn with me to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. So it's not just blood that saves. Somebody says, well, you all have a bloody religion. Well, it's a religion of blood, a slaughterhouse religion. You talk about blood. Well, in the Old Testament, almost all things were purified and sanctified by blood. He sprinkled the book, he sprinkled the people, he sprinkled the tabernacle, he sprinkled the mercy seat, he sprinkled the vessels with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But it's not just blood, it's whose blood? It's Christ's blood. It's Christ that died. Now, Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to loose the seal? And no man in heaven or earth or under the earth, no man, no creature was able to open the book, neither to look there. What is this book? It's a book of God's promises, of God's decrees, of God's purposes, of God's redemption. It's the book of life. It's the covenant of God's grace. Who can open it? Who can reveal it? Who can make these things manifest? Who can fulfill them? And I wept much, verse 4, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither even to look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ was a Jew, descendant of David, and the root of David, a man, the God-man, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the middle of the throne of God, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a what? A lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, all power, seven eyes, omniscience, and are the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit, sent forth into all the earth. And he came. You see, it's not just blood, it's his blood. It's not just the blood of a lamb, it's the blood of the lamb. It's the lamb slain for the foundation of the world, and the lamb who reigns in the midst of the throne. It's Christ. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and when he took that book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. Thou art worthy to open the seals, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you've made us kings unto our God, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we'll reign on this earth. There it is. The Lamb, the Christ. With Israel, it wasn't just blood. It was the blood of the Lamb. All right, secondly, it's not just the blood poured out on Calvary that saved. Now, please understand what I'm saying. Stay with me. It wasn't just that when they took that lamb, here a father took the lamb. His little boy is behind him there. He said, what are you doing? He said, the Lord's going to come through in judgment. Son, and you're my firstborn. I want you to die. I believe God. And God's told us what to do. So he took the lamb while the children, everyone watched, lamb for a house. The lamb was, its throat was cut and the blood was caught in a basin. And then they roasted the lamb with fire. Now then, is it over? No, sir. It's not over. It's not over. The father, by faith, took the blood, went to his house, his own house, where his own boy was, his own family. And he dipped the hyssop and put it on his door. And I'm telling myself and you and everybody else, you take the blood and put it on your heart. Now, that's highly important. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And there are a lot of us good Calvinists that know who Christ is. And we know he died. I know he died on the cross. The whole world knows that. I've always known that. I've known that since I was knee-high to a duck. Haven't you? I've heard that all my life. Christ died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. But there was a day when this old sinner right here believed what God said about sin and about his wrath and his holiness and his righteousness and his judgment. And I personally, individually, intelligently, somebody didn't drag me down an aisle. I don't believe Moses was standing there with a whip saying, put the blood on the door. Put the blood on the door. Raise your hand. Do this, that, and the other. The Father willingly, from his own heart, believed God. And he himself put that blood on that door. And that's what I did one day. And that's what you did. And so it's not just I believe the Bible. I do too. Most people do. I believe Jesus died on the cross. Well, most folks believe that too. But I tell you, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which what? I put the blood on the door. If thou shalt believe in thine heart, if thou shalt put the blood on the door and confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, thou shalt be saved. That's what I'm calling on you to do. You see, faith acts. All right, thirdly, let's turn back to the text a minute. It's not just blood, it's his blood. It's not just the fact that he died, it's the blood applied. And I'll hold to that, I'll believe that, as long as I live. It's the blood applied. It's the blood received by faith on my heart. I don't know about others, but I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin. And thirdly, God said, verse 13, listen, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, it's not what you see, it's what he sees. It's not what you do, it's what he did. When I see the blood, well, what's this blood mean to God? All right. You see, back in the Old Testament, I'm not going to read all this, but the atonement and the sacrifices, here's three words that occur almost every time the sacrifice is talked about. Take a lamb before the Lord. Slay the lamb before the Lord. Sprinkle the blood before the Lord. Before the Lord. Before the Lord. Look it up in your concordance. And before the Lord. In other words, when that high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he said, don't take anybody with you. Nobody. Because that blood atonement was sprinkled on the mercy seat before the Lord. People out there didn't even see it. Because what they saw and what they felt had nothing to do with it. It's God that must be justified. It's God's law that must be satisfied. It's God's justice that must be honored. So Christ died before the Lord. Isn't that right, John? He shed his blood before the Lord. He represented you. He took you into the Holy of Holies. You didn't see him go in. You didn't have to. You didn't see him die on the cross. You didn't have to. You didn't see him ascend into the right hand of God and put his blood on the mercy seat. You didn't have to. God saw it. Look at Hebrews 9. Let me show you that. God saw it. That's what's important. God said, when I see the blood. See, it's the blood that satisfies. God must be just and justified. Christ didn't die to get us to feel sorry for him. He died to reconcile us to God. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't die as an example. He didn't die to gain your pity. He said, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. It was an act of justice. It was an act of righteousness. It was a legal act that Christ accomplished for us before God. Hebrews 9, listen to verse 11. Hebrews 9. Verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not paid with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, into the presence of God, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Whew, there it is. That's what it is. It's appearance and the presence of God for us. And God said to Israel, now back to the text, Exodus 12, one more thing. He said, when I see the blood. And I'll tell you, my friends, there's a whole lot I don't know about the law and a whole lot I don't know about the death of Christ and the suffering of Christ, but there's a whole lot I don't have to know. I know I'm a sinner and I know God demands perfect righteousness and I know I don't have it. And I know God's coming through in judgment and God will not spare. I know that. I need a substitute. I need a Passover. I need a lamb. And Christ is that lamb. And he died. And that transaction back yonder on Calvary's cross was between the Father and the Son. And he paid it all. All the debt I owed. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And this is my assurance. Look at verse 12 again now. God said in verse 12, Exodus 12. He said, I will, and my friends, I believe it. I'll pass through the land, maybe this night. I don't know, tomorrow night or the next night. But he's going to come, and he's going to smite. God's going to smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. I'm going to smite man and beast against all the leaders, princes, gods of Egypt. I'm going to execute judgment. I'm the Lord. I'm holy. You believe that? I do. Now, here's my assurance. But God said, and the blood of Christ Jesus, the blood of God's Lamb, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And here I am. I'm in a house right here, a tent, a tabernacle right here. And his blood, his precious blood by faith has been received and applied. I trust Christ. I believe Christ. And when I see that blood, I will, God said, Passover. When I see not your works or the amount of your faith or how long you've been there, it don't matter, doesn't matter how long you've been under the blood, you're under it. That's it. That thief on the cross got under the blood about 10 minutes before God passed through. Isn't that right? About 10 minutes. An hour, maybe 2 hours. Not how long. It's whose blood. When I see that blood, I will pass over you. Christ, our Passover. Now, you see why I'm preaching on the Passover? I'll pass over you. Now, what? And the plague shall not. It shall not. Judgment shall not. The overflow of scourge shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite everybody else, I'm going to pass over you. When they took him down from that cross and put him in the tomb, that's not the end. Christ, our Passover, arose. And he said, because I live, you're going to live. I'm not only going to be delivered from the judgment against sin, but I'm going to be raised everlastingly to the glory of God. My Passover was slain and buried and rose again. And on this first day of the week, I come to praise him and to rejoice in him. And I don't mean to be offensive. And I know people always say, leave religion alone. Well, that's like telling me leave sin alone, because religion's shot full of sin. It's sinful practices. It's sinful praying, sinful work, and sinful form, and sinful ceremony. It's got to be condemned. And we've got to be taught. So this our Passover, in our risen, exalted, enthroned Redeemer, we worship him. And because of him, it's well with my soul. Ronnie, come lead us in singing 256.